Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Brett McMurphy is the college football insider for the Action Network. Follow him on Twitter on X at Brett_McMurphy. Brett, we got Tim with us out in Vegas. I guess let's start here. In your mind, what was the most significant thing that Greg Sankey said the last 2 days?
Oh, wow. Reading between the lines, he's tired of being questioned about the SEC's motives on what they're going to do. In a nutshell, he's going to do what's best for the SEC. And whether it depends on if you're an SEC fan or not, whether you like that answer. But if that means there may be collateral damage throughout college football because the SEC is going to do what's best for them, whether it's future scheduling, size of the playoff, et cetera, et cetera. I think he cares. He doesn't want to demolish college football or lay a blowtorch to it, but also his responsibility is to his 16 presidents in the SEC, and that's his number one priority. And a lot of people don't like that, but that's the reality of it. What that means long term, we don't know that. That's what we're trying to figure out. That's what everybody's trying to figure out. And there's a number of moving parts regarding the college football playoff, the selection committee, how many conference games the SEC goes to. Do they stay at 8? Do they go to 9? It's kind of all dependent on each other. So it's hard to say specifically what will happen, but certainly we do know that there will be change. It's just how much and how soon.
Brett, it seems inevitable that we're headed to 16. The other inevitable, well, I want to ask you, is it inevitable we're headed to 4 auto bids for the SEC and 4 for the Big Ten, from what you understand?
Yeah, Tim. I mean, that is what the SEC and the Big Ten, that is their preferred model right now. I reported earlier today, the ACC and Big 12 has proposed to the SEC and the Big Ten multiple times on a 16-team format where it would simply be the 5 conference champions, 4 the Power 4 conference champs, automatic bids, and then 1 from the Group 5. And then the remaining 11 teams in the playoff would be at-large teams. So basically the highest-ranked teams would get in. The SEC and Big Ten do not support that model. They prefer the guaranteed spots for at least 4 of their teams. Ultimately, the SEC and the Big Ten have all the power. And you can say, well, why don't the other conferences, you know, hold them to the fire? Why don't they call their bluff? Because the SEC and the Big Ten could say, okay, you know what, guys? We're going to go over here. We're going to start our own playoff. And people are like, well, no, they wouldn't do that. Well, actually, they would and they could. And, oh, by the way, it would generate double or triple the revenue of a playoff with the remaining conferences that are not the SEC and the Big Ten. Ultimately, I don't think that's what they want to do. But when you have all the power, either one of you guys are negotiating a deal at your, you know, your place of employment. You have all the power and you want A, B, and C and your employer's only offering you A and B, and you can go get A, B, and C somewhere else, you're going to say, you know what? No thanks, I'm going to go over here. That's kind of what is going on with the SEC and the Big Ten. And the biggest thing, guys, is that I've talked to a bunch of ADs here this week at the SEC meetings, and they're saying it publicly, they're saying it privately. Their concern is the selection committee falls into this narrative that an 11-1 team is better than a 9-3 team because they have two more wins. They don't take into account strength of schedule. They don't take into account how much a team gets worn down playing in a stronger conference. They simply fall back on Team A won 11 games, Team B won 9 games, so Team A should get in. And obviously when that happens, Alabama doesn't make the playoff, Ole Miss doesn't make the playoff, South Carolina doesn't make the playoff. I'm not saying I agree with them,
right,
but that's how they feel.
Brett McMurphy joining us right now here on the program. He's down there at the SEC meetings. You know, I posed this question, Brett, earlier in the show. I think I know the answer, but I'm just going to ask you from the people that you've talked about. Let's say SMU loses by 3 touchdowns to Clemson. Alabama gets in over SMU, which we all think probably would have happened if that was a blowout in the ACC championship. We're still having these conversations, right? Even if Alabama gets in, we're still questioning whether Ole Miss should have got in over Indiana, right? So it's not that short-sighted in the eyes of the SEC, all because Alabama got left out for SMU?
No, you're absolutely right. And you bring up a good point. And look, I want to be clear. I'm not like pro-SEC. I'm not anti-SEC. I'll be a lawyer. I'll play either side of it. But you bring up a great point in Indiana. And I love what Cignetti's done there. But, and I, you know, Tim, you know college football as well as anybody. There's 136 teams. I would guess that probably 70 teams, maybe that's high, I don't know, maybe not. We'll say 50 teams could have played Indiana's schedule and have the same record. They didn't play anybody, but they won a lot of games. Is that a top 12 team that should be in a playoff? I don't know. You could argue it is or it isn't. And so that's the biggest issue for the SEC, is when they see an Indiana team with zero quality wins get into the college football playoff. When they see SMU get in, that I think they're a separate category because they did win the regular season championship. And the regular season champions, whether we like it or not, there should be some value to that. And so I think that's one reason why you're hearing a lot of speculation about different conferences saying, well, if we're going to go to 16 teams, we're no longer going to have a conference championship game because we don't want our regular season champion to lose in the conference championship game and get kicked out. Instead, we'll have play-in games between our number 3 and 6 teams in the conference, and the winner of that can advance to the playoff. So you're right, Tim. Even if Alabama would have got in and SMU wouldn't have got in, then the argument would have moved to Ole Miss or South Carolina versus Indiana instead of SMU versus Alabama.
Brett, one thing that's never really made a lot of sense to me, and I don't feel like I've gotten a satisfactory answer, so maybe you can help me out on this. Up until, I feel like, last fall, and really towards the selection process, Greg Sankey was basically on the record as saying, like, I want a 12-team playoff to be 12 at-large teams. And now we've swung so drastically over to the whole stick-up is the automatic qualifiers. In your mind, what has changed? Because that's a pretty drastic position change in a very short period of time. I'm not saying you're not entitled to change your mind. Like, I'm not going to accuse him of flip-flopping, but to me, like, that's a pretty significant change in a short period of time. Why do you think that is?
Well, one, you're accurate. And if it was up to Greg Sankey, the top 16 teams would be in the playoffs, ranked 1 through 16. That has not changed. And I just mentioned earlier that I reported, you know, that's one of the proposals, the 5 automatic qualifiers and 11 at-large bids. That hasn't changed. What has changed is how the selection committee values teams. And again, we're looking at last year only when we went from 4 to 12. What did the SEC learn last year? is that the committee values wins versus inferior competition over a team with a lesser record that played a tougher schedule. So that is their, that's that. So I guess I hope I'm answering your question.
Well, yeah,
he hasn't changed. He's concerned that they're not going to rank the correct 16 best teams.
So I guess
teams may be penalized for more losses because they played a tougher schedule. So now they may not be considered in the top 16, where an 11-1 Indiana that has no top 25 wins will be considered a top 16 team. So that's his biggest issue. Not saying it shouldn't be 1 through 16. It's how do we get to those 16?
Yeah, I guess so why make this drastic proposal of the automatic qualifiers? Why not propose getting rid of the committee? Like, I think if you went to SP Plus, right, as a rating system, he would have got
Vegas.
It feels like that would be a better
cut. That's right, baby. It all comes back to Vegas.
Well, no, it's just like I feel like you could have basically. I feel like there were other workarounds other than what they're proposing. And I want to be clear. I'm exactly like you are. I'm pretty agnostic towards. I think the SEC has made some valid points. Like, I'm in the camp of I don't think going to Oklahoma in November is the same as going to Evanston in November. Like, I think no matter if it's a 6-6 Oklahoma team, like, I think it's tougher.
Right.
But, like, at the same time, I also acknowledge if there was an 11-1 Big Ten team, I don't care how soft the schedule was, that team was getting in. Like, I felt like I was kind of, like, stuck in the middle. It felt to me like there were other ways to work around this other than coming up with a system that feels like it's pretty unpopular.
Well, the biggest thing is we went from 4 to 12. So now, when you're in 4, it's pretty easy to pick the top 4. Or
yeah.
At least you're going to, you know, maybe, okay, who got screwed 4 or 5. But you're pretty well set. You know, we know who those top 4 teams are. I mean, I don't think there was an argument this in the last year who the top 4 teams were. You know, the seedings were different because of the automatic bids and whatever, but Texas, Penn State, Ohio State, Notre Dame, those were the four. Oregon, my bad. Yeah, those are the four. Everyone is pretty well set. So, but then when you get further down, then it gets more challenging. The biggest issue with simply saying, let's go by the power rating. Let's go with the Vegas power rating. Who's going to be favored on a neutral field? Give me the best 16 teams. I agree those are the best 16 teams. The biggest problem I have with that is, and Tim knows this, you know this, Alabama can lose 4 games and still be one of the best 16 teams in the country. Florida last year, a large part of the season, they're power rated, Tim may know off the top of his head. I'm going to say top 20 the entire season. They were never more than a game over 500 the entire season. Why? Because their schedule was so incredibly hard. Power rated wise, they were in the realm of the top 16. So at some point, wins and losses have to matter. And that's the thing is how do you balance that out with wins and losses have to matter, strength of schedule, and a limited schedule size. Mike Elko said this. Kirby Smart said this. Nobody has a problem when 13 of 16 SEC basketball teams get into the NCAA tournament. Well, some people may have a problem, but you have a bigger, you know, you have
sample
a bigger
size, yeah.
pool sample size to take from where you've got 12 games and you're playing two tomato cans, you're playing one tough non-conference, and then you're playing a conference schedule. That's the biggest challenge where you simply can't say, let's get rid of the committee and let's go back to a computer model. Let's go back to the power ratings. I still say this. I mentioned this to an AD earlier today, put it on my tombstone. The problem with the BCS when we got rid of the BCS computers was not the BCS computers. As screwed up as it was with the AP poll, all the different computer rankings, the number one biggest flaw of the BCS computer rankings was what? They could only pick 2 teams. That's what it was. If they could have picked 4 teams, we would have never had a selection committee. But they could only pick 2. So what? Guess what? One year they spit out Alabama and LSU, and everybody went ape, you know what?
Yep.
And that's where we said, we got to get rid of the BCS. This is flawed, whatever. Now, what was flawed is, what if we could only have picked 2 teams last year for a playoff? Nobody would have agreed on that.
We would have agreed probably on Oregon, and then who else? I don't. Georgia with a backup quarterback. The computer can't account for that. Yeah,
yeah. Like, you could make.
It wouldn't have been Notre Dame, Ohio State. That's for sure.
Yeah, and then perfect example. Oregon, the clear cut number one. I know we saw what happened in the Rose Bowl, but they had the toughest road to the championship game. Why? Because of automatic bids, and because Ohio State fell into eighth spot, and they did. You know, that's so asinine. Fortunately, they got rid of it for this year, where we'll have the straight seeding, where you're not going to have a Boise State and an Arizona State seeded six or seven spots higher than they should be because they won their conference. They'll be slotted correctly within the seeding. Look, there still may be upsets, but I think it'll be a truer test of how the rankings played out or the regular season played out.
I can't wait to see what we overreact to next December, and then we have to immediately knee-jerk fix that, too. Brett,
next December? What about just wait till tomorrow? Yeah. Something else
No, you're 100% right. Brett, thank you so much. The banana daiquiri at the Hilton Sandestin Elite, just a little pro tip there.
This is like my 12th time here, so, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. What's your room number again?
Just put it on Big Jeff Wright. Yeah, he'll take care of the bill. I think he's still got a corporate account there.
I usually go with the Underhill, so I'll go with that one.
Thank you, my man. Appreciate your time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.